What you're looking at is the Ocean Cleanup Interceptor, trapping and scooping plastic out of the Klang River in Selangor. The Interceptor aims to stop plastic pollution at the source before it reaches the ocean.
And the person behind this brilliant piece of engineering is here today on the show, Bojan Sled, founder and CEO of the Ocean Cleanup. Thank you for making time for this interview.
Pleasure.
Now let's start with what brings you here to Malaysia. We saw the Interceptor at the Klang River. How did this all begin?
Yeah, so at the Ocean Cleanup, our mission is to rid the oceans of plastic. And for that, we need to clean up both what's already in the ocean, as well as preventing more from going in. Now, we've been working for years on developing a technology to clean up these vast ocean garbage patches in the middle of the ocean where the plastic accumulates. But at the same time, still new plastic is flowing in. And what we found is that rivers are really the main source of plastic going into the ocean. 1% of rivers are responsible for 80% of the plastic pollution. So those 1% of rivers, 1,000 rivers, we want to deploy devices in there that intercept the plastic before it reaches the oceans. And yeah, we're very happy that here the River Klang has been one of the two first locations where we actually deployed such interceptor.
And you've had the chance to visit the site yesterday. You tweeted out some photos that we just saw. So the interceptor, it resembles a boathouse and it removes floating rubbish. So what kind of success did you see yesterday? Is that the kind of success that you anticipated?
Yeah, so I think we still need to do a few small tweaks. And of course, what's really important is that the operation really becomes this 24/7 thing. Mm-hmm. But it's really quite amazing to see it in action. And also the diversity of debris that's being taken out from, you know, from tiny plastic bags and bottles, which you see a lot, all the way to you know, a complete chair that we saw being taken out yesterday, you know, toys, motorcycle helmets. It's really, really quite incredible to see what it's all taking out, and it's doing it at a really efficient rate as well.
Tell us about how does it work? Does it capture all kinds of plastic, including microplastic, or can you share with us the technology
behind it? Yeah, so it's so the way it works is that you first have a barrier that concentrates the plastic to a central point where you then have a conveyor belt that scoops the plastic out of the water, and the plastic is then distributed across dumpsters in the back of the machine that buffer the debris, and every so often you have to take them out. It's on a separate barge, so you take the barge out, you empty them, you put it back in, and you can continue your cleaning activity. So it's fully automatic, it's powered by the sun, so it has solar powers and batteries. Yeah, it basically just cleans the river.
And is it disruptive to marine life? I imagine like fish swimming, does it catch them as well?
Only dead ones. I see quite a few of those coming up. But no, so basically we've done an environmental impact assessment, and that turned out that there wasn't any significant hazard to marine life.
So once you collect the trash and you deposit into the conveyor, well, what happens after then? How do you ensure that the trash does not end up back in the ocean?
Yeah, so what's really important is that we work with reliable partners locally to help take care of the waste. You know, we audit their performance. And yeah, of course, yeah, what we're aiming for is the best available local waste solution. Because of course, the last thing that we want is that the plastic that we've taken out ends up back into the environment. So we really go for solutions where the risk of that is really, really quite small.
Tell us about the deployment in Malaysia. How did that start? Why Malaysia?
Yeah. So in the case of the River Klang, what we saw was a really good combination of, on one hand, there being a real problem. According to our model, the Klang River is the fifth most polluting river in the world when it comes to plastic. Mm-hmm. And at the other hand, we saw local ambition to really try and tackle it. There was already being a lot of waste being taken out of the river with existing solutions, with barriers. Yeah, the problem was really being recognized. So there was a lot of enthusiasm to work together. And yeah, really that combination we felt was really a good location to start our interceptors.
And what is the relationship between the ocean cleanup and the partners that you're working with in Malaysia? Are they private sector, is it government?
Yeah, so we work together with semi-governmental parties that are responsible for revitalizing the river. And what we do is we provide the technology and the knowledge, the know-how of where to place it, how to operate it. But it's really up to the local parties to actually do the work and to make sure that the waste is being handled responsibly.
So it is autonomous, it's solar powered, so can it run 24/7 or how does it work and how often do you have to take out the trash from the conveyors?
Yeah. So definitely the objective is to run it 24/7 eventually. Of course, it's not very safe to be on the river by night, so that's why it's important for it to be autonomous, that it can actually go from sunset to sunrise and it can just continue cleaning. Of course, so while the extraction of the plastic is autonomous, you do need work, you do need people to take the barge out and empty the dumpsters and take care of the waste, right? So it's as autonomous as your those robots, vacuum cleaners that some people have in their house. It's basically the same thing. The collection is automatic, but you still need to empty them.
From the trash from the river all the way to the disposal, how do you ensure that is well managed and effective? Is it something that you looked into as well?
Yeah, of course. We don't deploy if we're not confident that the waste is being handled properly.
Okay.
Now, to expect that recycling is what's happening in all these locations, I think that's probably a step too far, as first of all, the debris is very mixed and very polluted. So in terms of reusability, it's kind of difficult. And at the same time, the reason why these polluting rivers are there is because of a lack of infrastructure as well. So so really to aim for the standards as we might expect in other places, that's probably not the right benchmark, but at least ensuring that it's in a sort of a well-managed landfill or possibly waste to energy, that's already 1,000 times better than it flowing into the ocean and would ensure that it doesn't end up back into the environment again.
Well, let's talk a bit about you. You have such amazing ideas and you have continuously improved them. The Interceptor is your second project. How did it all begin though? You studied space engineering and then you ended up as a cleaner.
Yes. So we've always been very passionate about technology. I've been building things since I was 2 years old, and first it was things.
2 years old?
Yeah, then I built like a chair for myself because I thought it would be fun to have my own chair. But then it went more into rockets and computers and I just love thinking of things, building things. And and then I was 16 years old, I went scuba diving in Greece and I looked around me and I just saw more plastic bags than fish and I thought, why can't we just clean this up? And to me that was really an engineering question. And and then I started thinking about, how could you do that? And that eventually led to the founding of the Ocean Cleanup.
And let's talk about the Ocean Cleanup. It aims to get rid of plastic pollution in the ocean, specifically the Pacific garbage patch. Such a big place of trash. Why start with such a scale? What's this such big of a project?
Yeah, well, it's a big problem. So I think big problems require big solutions. And and it just makes sense to start with the Great Pacific Garbage Patch because it's the largest accumulation zone of trash in the world. So that's this area that's between Hawaii and California. I think it's about twice the size of Mongolia. So it's really quite a big area. And so we've developed a technology that uses the natural forces of the ocean to try and concentrate it before we take it out. We have now one system in the garbage patch as we speak, getting out plastic, but it's still a pilot system. So if that goes well, then next year we want to scale it up, and then the year after that we want to build a whole fleet. Mm-hmm. And the aim is to clean half of this garbage patch every 5 years. So, but of course, that wouldn't be of much use if we also didn't stop the source, because if there's just new plastic coming in, you have to continue forever. So that's why we then started the River Project with the interceptors to also tackle the other side of the problem.
Which at what point during your project with the ocean cleanup did you start the River Project and realize that we have to stop it at the source?
So it was probably after about 2 years that we thought, well, maybe there is actually a chance that we can actually do this on the ocean. But then we figured, well, then we also need to solve the other side, because it was really clear that it wasn't going fast enough, the prevention side. So that's why we then came up with the River Project.
Now, the ocean cleanup, it did encounter some setbacks, some challenges in capturing plastics. I think only recently that you've managed to get it.
1 month ago, yeah.
So that's after 6 years. So, you know, what did you feel at that point? Did you feel like giving up at any time? Or?
No, I never felt like giving up, because the problem has to be solved. I don't think there's an alternative. And of course, you can give up on a certain methodology, you can give up on a certain technology, but I think giving up on the mission has never been really an option. So of course, we're always very eager to, you know, to learn by doing and to adapt the strategy if we encounter hurdles. But yeah, stopping has never been an option, and yeah, now it's you know, you can actually see that you know, with this perseverance, it's actually quite important, and also very proud of the team that at the beginning of the year it was a really bad start. The system actually broke into two, and wasn't working, wasn't catching plastic, and really, the team got together, went back to the drawing board, came up with solutions. And 6 months later, we actually have a machine in the ocean that's catching plastic. So, yeah, I think way too many people give up way too early on things.
And throughout this, the past 6 years since you started, rolled out the ocean cleanup, who are your supporters? Who I understand that initially you crowdfunded.
Yes.
And what happens then? How do you manage to sustain the nonprofit for so long?
Yeah. So I would say more than 90-95% of our supporters are individuals. So there's people from around the world, from basically crowdfunders that give $20, $50, all the way to really important philanthropists that have given millions over time. So and everything in between. So it has really been mostly individual driven. Yeah, that makes sense, because it was quite a high-risk project. Now that we actually have working technology that we can basically scale this, I think the center of gravity is going to shift from individuals, which will still be very important, but I think we'll get a lot more support from companies as well, that really need a solution, because in terms of reputation, if you're using a lot of plastic in your packaging, I mean, it's... it's really quite bad if you don't have a way to deal with it downstream. So, so we also look forward now to collaborating, working together with companies to help this this scale.
Well, and I guess that with the ocean, it's sort of a no man's land, right? It's not my problem, not really your problem. It's everybody's problem.
Right.
But the River Project is quite different in the sense that there would be a sense of ownership.
Correct.
And there it impacts local communities.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, so that's very true. I mean, the ocean is tragedy of the commons. It's the only way to do that is just with it's sort of outside of the market economy. You know, you just have to do it. But rivers, indeed, what's interesting is that most plastic that flows out of rivers ends up back on shore very quickly. So most of the plastic that's coming out of these rivers ends up on coastlines of the country where it's coming from. So it's just coming back at you. So so what we see now is that there's actually a big financial toll to countries for this pollution. The cost to Malaysia of plastic flowing out of rivers is roughly $280 million per year. It was calculated by Deloitte. And so it's definitely way, way cheaper to intercept it in rivers before it reaches the oceans, because of the damage to tourism, damage to fisheries, as well as just cleaning up coastlines. So So definitely, it also not just makes sense for companies, but also for governments to get involved.
Are you seeing more interest from governments to get
involved? Yeah, for sure. Of course, we just unveiled this project a week ago, so it's quite early to tell how this will pan out. But definitely, we're very happy with the collaborations with governments so far on really the pilot scale, which makes me confident that that we will continue having good relations with governments for the scale-up as well.
Where will you deploy next for the interceptor?
So after Indonesia and Malaysia, we'll be deploying systems in Vietnam and the Dominican Republic towards the end of the year. Then next year we'll be deploying, we're aiming for roughly 10 new deployments. So probably, well, Thailand will very likely be one of them. There will be one in California as well, mm-hmm. and then we'll see. We haven't made decisions yet on where the others are going to be, but definitely we see that Malaysia is in the top five heaviest emitting countries for plastic. So we would very much look forward to bringing more interceptors to Malaysia as well.
Well, technology has the potential to solve some of the world's greatest challenges, as illustrated by what you're doing. But deploying solutions at scale, that would probably be one of the biggest challenges for any entrepreneur, right? So for you, what are some of the challenges that you face to scale and bring your solutions to more places?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about, so the technology itself is truly scalable. I mean, this machine can work, you know, if it can work in the River Klang, it can work anywhere, basically. It's you know, it can deal with any, you know, with high flow speeds, low flow speeds, a lot of plastic, little amount of plastic. It can deal with all of that. So the technology, we can just, it's just copy paste. But the building of the local consortia and the ecosystems around these machines, that is really, really a case by case thing. You have to build new partnerships in every country, sometimes every river. So how to make that scalable and how to prevent that from being the bottleneck, that's, I think, the biggest challenge. It's finding the local partners that are willing to operate the machine, that are capable of handling the waste. Mm-hmm. It's permitting, it's the funding. All of that are bottlenecks to scaling this up.
Tell us, help us understand how your day looks like, you know, as the founder, CEO of the Ocean Cleanup. Do you travel a lot to meet with stakeholders, or do you spend a lot of time in the lab or researching, improving on your designs?
Yeah, I mean, it differs a lot over time. Now it's a lot of traveling, but I think in general, I would say 80% of my time is really focused on the engineering and the research. I think it's just really, if we don't have the right technology to do this, it's not going to happen. So making sure that we have the best technology capable of intercepting the plastic in rivers and in the oceans, that's where most of my time goes. Now, maybe in the coming years it will shift a bit towards more of the partnership side, but it really depends on where is the biggest need of my time.
Now, your project received a lot of publicity when you first started, well, when you were 19. Has it been difficult for you to market your invention, to test something at such a scale? Is it difficult for you to get buy-in from people?
I'd say we don't spend a lot of active attention on it. Mm-hmm. As I think if these machines work, I mean, you saw that, you know, the tweet I did yesterday, I think people just want to see the problem being solved, and if it's being solved, I truly believe that our supporters will spread the word themselves. So I don't believe much in things like advertising and marketing. I think as long as you have a good solution to a real problem of people, these things they can spread themselves.
And how do you handle critics who raise questions that your efforts are misplaced or a waste of time, that you're not really focusing the source of the problem, which is plastic waste or single-use plastic?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny when we were focusing on getting plastic from the ocean, critics were saying, well, no, you shouldn't do that, you should go to rivers. And now that we're deploying in rivers, they're saying, well, no, you shouldn't do in rivers, you should preventing from going in the river in the first place. So I think there will always be people that are just enjoy being negative. I don't think what we're doing in the rivers is the ultimate solution to plastic pollution. No, it definitely isn't. But I do think it's the fastest way to cut the source, to stop more plastic from reaching the oceans. It's not a replacement for any other prevention activity. It's really a supplement, an extra safety net if all else fails. I really think that to prevent plastic from ending up in the rivers from the hands of billions of people, it's going to take decades. And it has to happen, it has to change. But I don't think the ocean can wait so long. I think we can do this in a matter of years. So I think that's really important.
When you started the first project at age 19, do you had a vision of what you want to achieve, or did it just grew from there?
So of course I had an initial vision, what's even more important is the ability to, I think, adjust your vision as you go, based on new insights and new learnings. What we know now about the problem and our understanding about the problem with the countless of research expeditions and scientific publications that we did on this give us so much more knowledge about how to solve it compared to 5 years ago. So if you wouldn't adjust your vision along the way, I think you would just be doing the wrong thing. Okay.
Yeah. So looking right now, and is there a vision or mission that a goal that you would like to achieve in a couple of years' time?
Yeah. So I think right now it's two things. It's deploying fleets of ocean cleanup systems in all the ocean garbage patches around the world to really clean up 50% of what's already in the ocean in 5 years' time. And then secondly, we want to place 1,000 of these interceptors around the world that should cut around 80% of the source of new plastic going into the ocean. And I think if we do those two things, I think we'll get pretty close to having clean oceans in a few years from now. I think we won't be done yet, but it's definitely a good start.
Great piece of engineering, and thank you for the work that you're doing to rid plastics from the ocean.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.